An audacious claim echoes from the chambers of historic Catholicism. Outside of the church, there is no salvation. Does that mean that Catholicism teaches only Catholics can receive the gift of eternal life? The answer is a dichotomy. It can be either yes or no. Find out why on this episode of Revealing the True Light.
There are so many religions in the world. How are they similar? And how are they different? We need to know. The culturally correct view is to blend them all together as equally relevant and legitimate. But is that true? Prior to becoming a follower of Jesus, your host, Mike Shreve, was an avid seeker of truth, exploring many paths to spirituality. One of his passions now is to help bridge the gap so that others can discover the true light, which gives light to everyone entering the world. Now, here's Mike Shreve, revealing the true light.
On this episode, we are going to dig into the truth, an audacious claim that the Catholic Church has made for centuries, that outside of the church, there is no salvation. Does that mean that Catholics believe that only Catholics can be saved, only Catholics can receive the gift of eternal life? Well, there's some contributing ideas that need to be brought into that. And so it's somewhat of a dichotomy. It can be answered yes or no. But first, I need to deal with the issue of whether or not the Catholic Church is the only true church and whether or not they believe that. Well, of course, they do. According to Catholic dogma, the Catholic Church is singularly the only true church. Let me give you plenty of proof. Plenty of proof. For instance, in the Fourth Lateran Council of the Catholic Church that was held in 1215 AD, the declaration was released, there is one universal church of the faithful outside of which there is absolutely no salvation. Then the Council of Trent was held about three centuries later, and it was primarily a response to the Reformation that was taking place and how to respond to the claims of the Reformers. And this statement was released during that council, that the Catholic Church is the mother and the mistress of all churches outside of which no one can be saved. Sounds like an echo of what's been stated in the past. And then in an encyclical that was entitled Mortalium Animos, released on January 6, 1928, that's getting closer up to our time, Pope Pius XI, referring to the Catholic Church and the papacy, the position of the Pope, insisted, in this one Church of Christ, no man can be or remain who does not accept, recognize, and obey the authority and supremacy of Peter and his legitimate successors. So now he's adding into it the necessity of accepting the Pope, accepting the papacy, as a legitimate institution founded by God, and that no one can remain in the true church unless they have that acknowledgement or possess that belief. So that's the true heart of Catholicism. I mean, that is the core belief of Catholicism. Now, since that time, there have been ways of massaging that that make it look more acceptable and more tolerant of the Protestant sects that have evolved through the centuries. However, we're going to get down to the root of the matter, the foundational belief that Catholics really hold to. Now, I must bring in on the opposite side that there was a priest, Father Leonard Feeney, F-E-E-N-E-Y, that taught in the 1940s that you could only be saved if you were Catholic. That you could only be saved if you were Catholic. And his bishop and the Vatican withstood him on that and tried to convince him his interpretation of the church's teaching was wrong. He persisted in it and ended up being excommunicated, and that error of belief, according to the Catholic Church, is referred to as Finneyism. However, he was ultimately reconciled to the Church before he died in 1978. So, how do you fit that together if they say outside of the church there is no salvation, and yet when a man teaches, when a priest teaches that you have to be Catholic to be saved, he's labeled as a heretic, wrongly representing the beliefs of the church? How do you connect the dots between those two things? I'm going to. Now, a statement released after the Vatican II Council. Now, Vatican II was not accepted by all conservative Catholics because it tended to water down some of the previous rhetoric about the exclusivity of Catholicism. It seemed to smooth it over, make it more palatable and acceptable. And not everyone appreciated that, but I understand the psychology behind it. I understand why they did it. And during that council, it was reasserted, though, and this statement was part of their decisions or the presentation of their findings, that it is through Christ's Catholic Church alone, which is the general means of salvation, that the fullness, and that's an important word, the fullness of the means of salvation can be obtained. Because in other denominations, you don't have, say, for instance, the sacrament of confession, confessing your sins to the priest, which is a necessary part of having mortal sins taken care of, according to Catholic doctrine. And that's just one example. However, the same document, even though they said Christ's Catholic Church alone is the general means of salvation and the only way the fullness of the means of salvation can be obtained, still, in the same document, they said Catholics must joyfully acknowledge and esteem truly Christian endowments derived from our common heritage. And they're talking about all these offshoot groups, all these Protestant denominations. Let me go back and quote it. Catholics must joyfully acknowledge and esteem truly Christian endowments derived from our common heritage, which are to be found among our separated brethren. And they must strive for the reestablishment of unity among all Christians by making a common effort of purification and renewal. So apparently, at least because of Vatican II, and prior to that, I'm sure, anyone who broke away from the Catholic Church was referred to as a separated believer, a separated Christian, separated brethren, that needed to be purified. Purified of what? Purified of false beliefs that separated them from the church. And renewed. Renewed in what? Renewed in a relationship with what is referred to as the mother, the mistress and the mother of all other Christian denominations, all right? My Bible, however, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, says that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. The mother of whom? The mother of all who have been born again. And the word translated again is the word anathen in the Greek, which means from above. New Jerusalem, above, is the mother of us all. Because when we repented and gave our hearts to the Lord Jesus and received the true spiritual awakening of that rebirth experience, a new spirit came from above and we were changed. We became new creations in Christ. The Catholic Church is not my mother. New Jerusalem is my mother in a supernatural sense. Do Catholics believe, however, that only Catholics can be saved? And this is where the confusion arises, because if you talk to a lot of Catholics and you ask them if they believe that only Catholics can be saved, many of them will say, oh no, non-Catholics can be saved ultimately as well, because some of the training has reinforced that idea, but it's based on some prerequisites and it's based on some concepts that are found in the catechism that that we're going to go over right now. We're going to expose what's really taught, what's really believed. So do Catholics believe that only Catholics are saved? Well, yes, on the one hand, because according to Catholic teaching, everyone in heaven will be quote-unquote Catholic. But no, Catholics are not the only ones that will be saved, because many who were unfamiliar with the Catholic Church and its teaching, and I'll get more into detail about this later, yet they incline their hearts toward God in true repentance and desire, whether they realized it or not, were in communion with the Catholic Church and will somehow, some way, be given an opportunity to be saved at a later time, even though during their lifetime they were unaware of the claims of Catholicism. Now, we're going to focus on the catechism. The catechism is the authority of that belief system, the Catholic belief system. You can read it yourself. You can go to the official catechism that is posted by the Vatican online. Look it up online. Go there yourself. That's the source I use, and I've read it extensively. And I'm going to focus primarily on paragraphs 818 through 848. And you can go to different websites that allow you to type in the particular paragraphs you want to reference, and they'll pull up those paragraphs from the catechism. Now, beginning with 818, let me show you how Catholicism bends toward religious communities that are outside of Christianity altogether, to try and extend grace to them, so to speak, or to extend to them the possibility of somehow receiving eternal life. Watch this. 818. However, let me preface with this. Right now, this is a passage that is particularly talking about those who have been born into these offshoot denominations, like the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, etc. And this paragraph, 818, deals with them. However, one cannot charge with the sin of separation. Remember, all Protestants are called separated brethren. One cannot charge with the sin of separation those who at present are born into these communities that resulted from such separation, and in them are brought up in the faith of Christ, and the Catholic Church accepts them with respect and affection as brothers. All who have been justified by faith and baptism are incorporated into Christ. They therefore have a right to be called Christians, and with good reason are accepted as brothers in the Lord by children of the Catholic Church. That's showing some kind of merciful, patient kindness toward those that are raised in a different mindset but have a heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll find out they haven't really been exposed to the claims of Catholicism and had to make a decision, yay or nay. 819 brings forth a little bit more detail. Furthermore, many elements of sanctification and truth are found outside the visible confines of the Catholic Church. Many elements of sanctification and truth are found outside of the visible confines of the Catholic Church. And here they are: the written word of God, the life of grace, faith, hope, charity, and with the other interior gifts of the Holy Spirit, as well as the visible elements, which are the rituals and the ceremonies, like communion, etc., and baptism. Now, this is an important statement. Christ's Spirit uses these churches and ecclesial communities as means of salvation whose power derives from the fullness of grace and truth that Christ has entrusted to the Catholic Church. So in other words, whether they know it or not, the grace that is flowing to them is flowing through the Catholic Church into these Protestant denominations. All these blessings come from Christ and lead to Him and are in themselves calls to Catholic unity. Interesting. Now, we're jumping quite a few paragraphs further on in the Catechism to paragraph number 838, or entry 838. The Church knows that she is joined in many ways to the baptized who are honored by the name of Christian, but do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successor of Peter, in other words, the papacy. They do not recognize the Pope as an authority figure. Those, and I'm continuing with the Catechism entry, those who believe in Christ and have been properly baptized are put in a certain, although imperfect, communion with the Catholic Church. Well, let me stop right there and say, what if I don't want to be in communion with the Catholic Church? What if I disbelieve that that institution is valid in its assertions? Because much of what it teaches is false. Just to give a couple of examples, like infant baptism, the belief that an infant, when it's sprinkled, is born again, receives the gift of eternal life, and original sin is wiped away, and it becomes a member of the church. There is no scriptural precedent for that. Or the sacrament of reconciliation, which is another word for confession. I do not believe I have to confess my sins to a priest. And I have an article on tocatholicswithlove.org that goes into great detail about why I believe that is a false doctrine, non-biblical. So I don't want to be in communion with a church that is teaching falsehoods in the world. And yet this passage says that if I have been properly baptized and I'm confessing my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am in an imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. Well, I sever that communion, consciously sever it, because I reject that belief system. Well, what kind of situation does that put me in? You'll see in just a moment. But first, I want to jump past Christian denominations into the world as a whole, and religions outside of Christianity altogether. There are entries in the Catechism about the Catholic Church's relationship with other religions, and I'm going to touch on some of those entries. I believe it's important. For instance, the relationship of the Church with the Jewish people. You should look it up yourself. It's entry is paragraphs 839 and 840, and I'm just going to pull out a little bit from that. The Jewish faith, unlike other non-Christian religions, is already a response to God's revelation in the Old Covenant. Then 840, when one considers the future, God's people of the Old Covenant and the new people of God tend towards similar goals. Expectation of the coming, parenthetical statement, or the return of the Messiah. But one awaits the return of the Messiah, who died and rose from the dead and is recognized as Lord and Son of God. And the other awaits the coming of a Messiah whose features remain hidden until the end of time. And the latter waiting is accompanied by the drama of not knowing or of misunderstanding Christ Jesus. However, even though they acknowledge that there is a certain common element in the belief of a Jew as opposed to the belief of a Christian with regard to the Messiah, no statement is made considering the ultimate destiny of Jewish people or what they need to do in order to experience salvation. So it's nebulous, it's cloudy, it's unclear. Next, and this was most surprising to me, the way it's worded. It's with regard to the Muslim faith. This is paragraph 841 in the Catechism. The Church's relationship with the Muslims. The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator in the first place among them. In the first place among them are the Muslims, those who profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us, they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day. What? Together with us, this is the Catholic Catechism, referring to Muslims, and they say, together with us, they adore the one merciful God. But the God of the Bible and the God of Islam are not the same God. The God of the Bible is a triune being comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Yahweh of the Old Testament is the Yeshua of the New Testament. He has always manifested himself in a form in communicating to some of those who were chosen for certain tasks. And there are plenty of Christophanies or prior appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem. So that's not true. We don't worship the same God, because in Islam, one of the worst sins you can commit is called shirk. And shirk is sharing divinity with anything or anyone other than Allah. And Allah is utterly one. And for us as Christians to say that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, that is the utterly abhorrent sin of shirk, blasphemy in the sight of a Muslim. And so there's no cohesiveness between the two belief systems. But after all of these conciliatory statements, we get to the core belief of Catholicism. And I believe they made these statements to try and build inroads into the nation of Israel and the belief system of Judaism and all of those who embrace Islam. They wanted to try and open a door to bring them into this church, Roman Catholicism or Catholicism as a whole. But once they make all of those statements in the Catechism, the facade is ripped away, and the true feelings of the church are expressed. The true core belief is expressed very blatantly. And it starts out with this statement that we've heard echoing from the past. Outside of the church, there is no salvation. And in the Catechism, it's in quote marks. So they're quoting from past statements. And in the Latin, it's extra ecclesiam nulla salus. Outside of the church, there is no salvation. And then the question is asked, how are we to understand this affirmation often repeated by the church fathers? Reformulated positively, it means that all salvation comes from Christ, the head, through the church, which is his body. And of course, the reference to the church is not an intranominational organism, the church made up of all born-again believers worldwide, is a reference to the Catholic Church, which is the only church considered his body. All right, it means that all salvation comes from Christ, the head, through the church, which is his body. Now listen to this closely. Basing itself on scripture and tradition, the council teaches that the church, a pilgrim now on earth, is necessary for salvation. My salvation never came through Catholicism. I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy. I was on my way to the monastery at one point. My salvation did not come through Catholicism. My salvation came through someone who witnessed to me how to become born again. And Christ came into my heart by faith, Ephesians 3:17. And I had a personal encounter with him. And I knew that I had a personal relationship with the Savior of all mankind from that point forward. However, it says he is present to us in his body, which is the church. This is the Catechism, he himself explicitly asserted the necessity of faith and baptism and thereby affirmed at the same time the necessity of the church, which men enter through baptism as through a door. Now listen to this statement. This is paragraph 846 in the Catechism. Hence, they could not be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it. That cuts me off right there. And any other person who was at one point a part of the Catholic belief system, who is now a born-again believer, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who has received the gift of eternal life, no way. According to this, we're no longer saved because we refused to remain in the church. And this affirmation is, now, listen to 847, because again, they capitulate. And understandably, they capitulate. 847. This affirmation is not aimed at those who, through no fault of their own, do not know Christ and his church. That statement, through no fault of their own, is repeated three times in this paragraph, paragraph 847. This affirmation is not aimed at those who, through no fault of their own, do not know Christ and his church. Those who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those two may achieve eternal salvation. Now, I believe they have based that belief on Romans chapter 2 and verses 13 through 16, and I'm not going to read it right now, but that talks about those that are not exposed to the law, doing by nature the things contained in the law, and how they will be judged by their response to conscience. Well, they're talking about people that have never heard of Catholicism and never been presented with the claim that the Catholic Church is the true church, because through no fault of their own, it's referred to as invincible ignorance. In other words, ignorance that cannot be overcome. Through no fault of their own, they just didn't believe. But once given the opportunity to believe, they've already adopted some of the lifestyle and the belief system just because they've responded to their conscience. And then it says, although, and this is 848. Now, I was reading 847. 848 says, although in ways known to himself, God can lead those who through no fault of their own are ignorant of the gospel to that faith without which it is impossible to please him. The church still has the obligation and also the sacred right to evangelize all men. So there you have it. And I'm going to give you two more quotes and then I'm going to close. There is also a catechism quote, paragraph number 1260, that says, every man who is ignorant of the gospel of Christ and of his church, but seeks the truth and does the will of God in accordance with his understanding of it, can be saved. It doesn't say he will be, just says there's an opportunity there. How God does it, it could be beyond death, who knows? It could involve time in purgatory according to Catholic teaching. Who knows? It's very vague in the catechism, but it says that they seek the truth and do the will of God in accordance with their understanding of it. They can be saved. It may be supposed that such persons would have desired baptism explicitly if they had known about it. If they had known about it. So God supposedly, according to this teaching, can predetermine what the attitude of their heart would have been had they been exposed to the truth. Vatican II said, therefore, and this is a statement that came out of Vatican II, that one may obtain eternal salvation, it is not always required that he be incorporated into the church as a member, but it is necessary that he at least be united to her by desire and longing. That's a very important statement. And then finally, I'm going to give you a quote by Tim Staples, who is an apologist at Catholic.com. And he was actually a Protestant one time that converted to Catholicism. And he said this in dealing with the same subject. In a nutshell, you cannot separate rejecting the church from rejecting Christ, according to Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. In other words, one cannot just create his own religion and follow the Jesus of his own creation and choosing without there being eternal consequences. Well, I would dare to say I have not created a Jesus of my own imagination. I have not created the belief system I adhere to. It is a biblical belief system. It is a scripture-based belief system. It does not veer from the gospel. It does not veer from the Bible. And it is based on what Jesus taught and his 12 disciples. That's satisfactory for me. And I would urge you to believe the same. And listen, I go into detail on these subjects and much, much more in the book, The Beliefs of the Catholic Church. I urge you to get your copy. And you can go to our website, shreveministries.org, or the website, twocatholicswithlove.org, and secure your copy, The Beliefs of the Catholic Church. It will answer a lot of your questions.
Thank you for joining Mike Shreve today on Revealing the True Light. And thank you for opening your mind and your heart to the truth. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss new episodes. You can explore the beliefs of many world religions more deeply by ordering Mike Shreve's book titled In Search of the True Light. We also invite you to visit our website, thetruelight.net, and sign up to be part of our global internet family.